This is Anderson Penn's podcast episode 103 for Tuesday, May 13th, 2014. This is Brian.
This is Lisa.
This is the Anderson Penn's Radio Network.
So that means next week will be 104, which is 2 years.
You know, I didn't think about that, but yeah, it'll be 2 years. Although it's not exactly 2 years. Because I think we skipped a couple weeks.
Yeah, maybe.
So.
Okay. Well, that's still pretty momentous.
I'm surprised we made it this long. Some days.
Some days.
About 3 hours ago, I didn't think we were going to make tonight.
Well, in Brian's defense, he had some dental work done. And when he came to the store, I'm going to go with, I thought we should cancel because he was not looking all that, let's just go with happy. Or healthy.
But they gave me the option, right? They gave me the option.
Take the drugs. Any woman who's had children will tell you, take the drugs when they offer. It doesn't matter what they're doing to you. Take the damn drugs.
I said to her, I said, well, how long is it gonna take? And she's 15 minutes. And then, okay, well, you know, maybe we can.
Take the drugs.
Yeah.
There's nothing natural about being in that much pain. And it doesn't matter if we're talking about childbirth or dental work. There's no.
You know.
Take the drugs.
The next time it happens,
help me out. Agree with me.
The next time it happens in January, I might do it the same way again, actually.
What? So then you're just gonna?
It's a minimal amount of pain. It's not, you know, sometimes
you were not in a minimal amount of pain when you came to the store.
Hey, it's not that a few ibuprofen can't fix. Anyway. I do want to do a little bit of house cleaning here.
Well, that's a first. Oh, are we like throwing stuff out? Can we please?
No. I just want to make a comment about the audio version of the podcast. Yes, there is no versions from 100 on. That is not by design. It is simply a matter of. Well, first of all, for those that you're aware, the 100th had a little technical glitch in the middle of it, which I do want to edit out for the audio version. There's no need for the if I can do it. There's no reason for people to listen to that. But the other problem is
dead air.
there's no reason for that. The other reason is it's not certain reasons that I was able to do it, which I won't get into. Certain pieces of software that were available I no longer can utilize because they are no longer free. So I have to do them at a different time. So I will get to them eventually, and then there'll be like 3 or 4 of them.
Cool. It'll be like brand new.
It will be, yes. So I'm working on it. They will come back, and hopefully at some point in the future they will be, you know, I used to have them on every week. So
okay.
That's the idea. So.
All right, cool.
Anyway, that's my little bit because people have been asking. I get emails. I get people asking me at the Chicago. They're asking, so I just wanted to bring that up. So they're out there. Well, they're going to be out there. I'm working on it. So, topic number uno.
Oh, this is on me. Usually, you get the first couple.
Well, no, I don't get the first couple. I don't know what you got. I don't know. You just I have two words on the script here for what we're talking about.
Actually, I'm going to throw something else in there on you.
Oh no.
So, I have two words for you. Ready?
Yeah.
Washi tape.
Okay. All right. You get your tape.
Washi tape,
all right.
It's like the new. It's been out for a couple of years.
It's new duct tape.
Well, you can get it in duct tape. It's also in a different kind of tape. But, for example, it's all different colors, all different patterns, all different styles. For example, I took one of our Quo Vadis Habana notebooks in the old blue, and I added some washi tape.
But what? You just
brush it on. You just roll it on.
Okay.
It's kind of cool.
Is
you can decorate
stuff
all
that's
sorts
up at the
of
store?
Stuff. We have it at the store? Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. So anyway, I just am newly addicted to it. I have a bunch of them. And I just thought it was kind of cool. You can do all sorts of cool stuff with it. I use it in my planner. I use it on my web notebooks. I use it. we even used it in the store to designate which breakers we turn off at night. Yeah, it's like Jenny says in the chat. It's more like a narrow masking tape. Okay.
What is it? Japanese, I'm assuming.
Yes. Yes. Like very easy to tear. And very, very cool. And no, these are not fingerprints, Jonathan. It's part of a floral pattern. Thank you. Yeah, it's very cool. Lots of fun. Awesome to use. But just a little thought about things you can do to perhaps decorate a journal or notebook or something that might be a little boring.
Okay, so is this like when we were kids, we had stickers. Now we just have washi tape.
Kind of. It's like stickers for adults in a long strip. If you look in the chat, some of the ladies are going gaga over it. I'm not the only one addicted to washi tape. Just saying. So when we get to DC, ladies, and we're all together in the bar, and we're talking about, we're comparing pens, we also need to bring our washi tape, and we can swap. I mean, seriously, can't you see that?
Who says they had it in the 60s? Cartoon Band-Aids.
I used to think he was funny.
I love him. I love
him. But I'm serious. Everybody bring your washi tape. We're all going to do, like some people do an ink swap. We'll do a washi tape swap.
No, I have a serious question here. I'm not being sarcastic or anything.
It might be.
Are there blogs devoted to this? I mean, are there different?
Oh, my God, totally.
Are there like hundreds of different kinds of this stuff?
And oh, yeah. I've probably got 20 different.
You have what? 20?
I could probably see 10 from here.
What are you having this stuff? Is it shipped to the store when I'm not there or what?
No, I bought it a while ago, but it's very cool.
Oh, I bought it a while ago. I remember that. Oh, yeah, no, this pen, I've had this a while.
All right, hang on. Some of these are fun.
You don't remember that joke?
Yeah, that's I remember what that joke.
You know, no. This pen's been in the case since last week when I...
All right, these are just some. See?
No.
What? You can decorate all sorts of things, but, you know, for people who journal...
Well, how much decorating are you doing? I mean, you got enough... You could...
It's not all I have. All right, Jonathan says we should make a washi tape swimsuit. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's... Yeah, that's
a little... Aziza has washi tape on her blog. It's very cool. It's kind of the hot new thing.
All right.
But it's interesting. You can you can be creative with it.
Well, but what are you going to use that much washi tape for, though?
I have stuff.
You get stuff?
You put it on your calendar, put it in your planner.
I don't see it on the calendar upstairs.
That's not the only calendar I have.
Okay, you're right.
Arlie says there are Facebook pages for washi and stickers used to decorate planners. See?
Okay.
It's a all big right. thing.
Okay, all right. I don't know. I'm just, I was never the sticker kind of guy. And
I would probably hope not. I will do it
most, for you. Most of my stickers involved cars and, like, motorcycles. You
know? I have some with flowers. I have some with leaves. I have some with that are plain. They're okay. Cool. Birds. Yeah. So, anyway.
Now, why is it called washi? What does washi mean?
I don't know. It's a Japanese thing. I didn't get that far into it. I just kind of threw that in there to totally mix things up and mess with you.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, I could do this without you, you know.
Apparently you can. All right. Well, this is very interesting. Very
See,
interesting.
Ashley says, just stop just questioning stop. Me. Yeah. It's stationary. It's an office supply. It's a necessity.
Well, maybe I need some. Is there some is there masculine washi tape?
Sure, I have gray.
Gray is masculine? Well,
it's not very feminine.
It looks like painter's tape.
Well, I can buy you some painter's tape.
Isn't the whole point that it's got like some kind of pattern on it or something?
Well, do you want the leaves? Do you want the birds? You like birds.
I do like birds.
Anyway.
All right.
So people in the chat are digging my washi tape, so there you okay. go.
Very, very interesting. I commend you for that.
There you go.
This is the most we've ever talked about washi. All right, what else you got? Or do you want to keep going on that? I think we should move on.
No, I think I have another topic that I don't think we've ever talked about before.
I don't think at length. I think we may have mixed it in once or twice.
Oh, nice, nice. All right, Aziza, sit down, brace yourself.
Oh man,
you're gonna get excited. We're gonna talk about ink mixing. As in, like, making your own colors, tweaking a color, those kinds of things. I'm a big mixer. Not like a DJ mixer, but...
Sorry.
No, I'm serious. So a lot of people buy ink. Aziza even drinks it. I think that many people like to mix their own ink because they can't quite find the color that they like. Or they run out of a bottle and they either don't want to buy it or can't find it anymore, and so they try to mix up their own version. And so I thought we would just very briefly touch on some of the do's and don'ts and tips and tricks, concerns about mixing your own color of ink. Not making your own ink, but taking two different colors to make a different color. So, okay. All right, you with me?
I'm with you.
Okay, for example, Deb Kinney, who does nib work, had this teal color that she mixed that was gorgeous. Couldn't find it in any line. It was just the perfect teal color. It was awesome.
We have 524 bottles of Inky. We don't have the perfect teal.
No. We're not done yet either. We're going to be over six soon.
All right, continue.
Okay, so there are a few lines, a few brands that don't mix well with others. It's like some kids don't play well with others. Some inks don't mix well with others. Private Reserve, some Noodlers, and Organic Studio do not necessarily always play well with others chemically. Sometimes you can get some clogging.
You can intermix them with themselves.
Generally, within a brand, and again, there are no hard and fast rules that cover every color of every brand, but generally, you're safe if you can mix within a brand. Like, you can mix J. Herbin with J. Herbin. You can mix Aurora with Aurora. You can mix Diamine with Niamine.
Well, Aurora's only two colors, so I got blue. I can make a blue-black. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes, but if you stay within a brand, you do reduce the risk of chunks, of clogging, of participate, any of that.
Okay. Now, surely there are some brands that are better to mix than others.
Absolutely.
That will go well with most other colors.
With most. Now, again, this is not a hard and fast rule. So, Aurora. Aurora Black is an awesome black to add if you want to darken almost any color.
Yeah.
So
I have been known to do that.
Yep. It just mixes well with others, as do most of the Diamine colors. Now, I haven't played with, let's say, Hope Pink or Peach Haze or some of those other colors, but for the most part, and again, these are all very big generalities, but Diamine mixes well with itself, and it mixes well with other colors.
Okay.
If you wanted to take... I should have written this down. I haven't played with inks in a while. But you could take a J. Herbin Purple, the Violette Pensée, for example, and you could add a little bit of Aurora Black to darken it and come closer to, let's say, the Diamine Damson.
Okay.
If you didn't have Damson, or if you had a sample, or you just wanted to tweak it just a tiny bit. Another good ink is Monteverde, actually mixes pretty well with others.
Mm-hmm.
Sailor has some very beautiful, very clear colors. They're not muted, they're not muddy. Those do well. The non-pigmented inks do mix well with some Diamine, with some with Aurora Black. Let's see what else.
Quink, Scrip. What about those?
Waterman and Quink, the vintage Quink, and even the modern Schaefer also mix really well. Schaefer Red is a really nice red, but if you want to darken it just a drop, you absolutely can tweak your inks with just a drop or two. Take a pipette and add. Now, you don't want to do this in the big bottle. That's the other thing. And no, Greg, I'm not going to ignite my ink. Why don't you come in the store and we'll talk about it. Take your ink, and you should always mix it in a separate container, in a separate vial or an empty ink bottle or something. You never want to mix it in the original bottle. You want to keep that clean and pure. And you always want to decant out of the original bottle into something else. So, anyway, that's just a little bit about ink mixing. And looks like Jonathan might need a little help with his brown sludge number 32 ink mix. But just play with it. You know, yeah, but go ahead.
I was going to say, he brings up a good point. You know, you can always, like you say, you mix it in something neutral, and then you can use a dip pan and see how it works and how it reacts before you put it in your Parker 51. That's going to take forever to clean. So
right, and if you see any chunks, anything that looks weird, obviously don't use it. But sometimes you can come up with a really pretty color that maybe is a hair darker or a little bit more blue, a little bit more green, whatever. And come up with an interesting color and play around with it.
So. I think we should do this. We should do this at work on Friday.
Ink mix
Friday.
You,
me, and Dave will have. We'll have a little ink mix off.
All right.
We should see what we come up with.
Cool. So. Ooh, Jenny's gonna mix rose cyclamen and Murasaki Shikibu. That's gonna be fun, and it's also just gonna be fun to say, cyclamen Shikibu.
Cyclamen Shikibu, Murasaki Rose, or whatever. Okay, cool. What else?
I don't know. What else is going on? Look, I did my thing. You've been gung-ho for this topic for weeks now.
Well, it's just never been appropriate because we've been talking about a pre-pen show, post-pen show, what have you, and we're going to possibly throw it off to next week, but I just want to kind of been teasing people about it for a while. Back in January, went to the Philadelphia Pen Show. I met a gentleman who whose neighbor used to work for Esterbrook. I don't have the gentleman's name, but I do have the gentleman's neighbor. The person who worked for Esterbrook's name was Russ Mattson. Apparently, he designed nibs and had something to do with ink for Esterbrook. And I managed to buy off a number of pens from him, including some prototype stuff. And some interesting paper that he had in a binder that I asked if I could get a copy of. And then finally, after realizing that it was going to be too much of a pain for him to go and photocopy these and send them to me, he just gave them to me. He was going to try to sell them to me, but I wasn't that terribly interested in paying too much for them. But one of them is an interesting booklet called Going Our Way. It's kind of hard to read the copyright date on it because it was very poorly, as you can see, very poorly photocopied. Looks like 1946, maybe, 48. But what it looks like is some kind of internal HR promotional material about the company, perhaps given to new employees on their first day of work. I don't know. Interesting, nothing too earth-shattering, but then kind of tucked in the back, there was this one-page photocopy, this time nicely done, of a newspaper article. Now, sadly, it doesn't say which newspaper, but it does say, and then in pencil on the side, it says December 1949. And the title of the newspaper article is Esterbrook Pen Sales Continue 4-Year Climb. Now, it's a very reasonably short two-column two-column article. But what was interesting here that I'm sure nobody, I don't think this is printed anywhere. This is not necessarily discussed. So if somebody knows this, I haven't seen it before this. The article starts out, it's interesting, it talks about, it says, unlike Eversharp, Esterbrook, the oldest pen company in America, did not plunge into the ballpoint pen field and suffer heavy losses when these pens fell from favor.
Ooh, fell from favor.
which I find funny. But it talks a little bit about the company's history and about how they're doing well. Sales have increased every year since 1930, with the exception of the war years. And then it comes to this interesting two paragraphs here. I'll kind of cut in the middle and I read it to you. It says, in 1930, Sidney Longmaid, the president of the company, relates, "We were almost flat on our back. We were then America's largest producer of pen points, but the growing popularity of the fountain pen, deteriorating business conditions, and increasing German and Japanese competition had combined to bring our sales to a very low level. We decided at that time to produce a fountain pen that would satisfy the needs of the business establishments, school children, professional people, and others that had been the principal customers for our pen nibs. In 1931, Albert G. Frost, now chairman of the board, left his position as vice president in charge of sales of Wall Company, which is the present Eversharp, to take charge of the sales of Esterbrook, aided by the fountain pen, which Esterbrook introduced that year. The sales of the company climbed steadily for the next 3 years." Did you hear what I just said?
Tell me again.
Esterbrook's first fountain pen came out in 1931.
I thought it was a different year.
Most people think it was a different year. Most people think it was 1933. There is some evidence to indicate that it was 1932. But most people, I mean, no advertising appears till 33. It says right here, 1931. And I just so happen to have an example of such a pen right here. Sorry, Wayne. These are what I refer to as the V-clip pens. This one happens to be black hard rubber, which is, in my opinion, exceptionally rare. Normally you see them in plastic.
It's a tire pen.
It's a tire pen, yeah, and it has a nib, too. But I found that interesting. Here's an article that's been sitting in some guy's office for, 70 years, which lays out the date of the very first Esterbrook fountain pen.
Well, that's cool.
I'm obviously more excited about it than probably anybody in the podcast, and they're wondering what's next.
I'm sorry. It's just in the chat. There.
What? What's going on in the chat?
Am I missing something?
What? Oh, come on.
No, that's really cool. I mean, it's always interesting to find documentation that either proves or disproves a certain date or a certain theory about a pen company. I mean, a lot of these things are long gone. You know, nobody's around who founded the company, who worked at the company, etc. So it's very cool to find things that actually document without a doubt so that it is no longer uncatalogued.
Yeah, it is no longer uncatalogued. It's interesting also, there's a couple other points in the article that I thought were of interest. It says, in 1932, Longmaid relates, "We were proud when our weekly output of pen points for fountain pens reached 600.
600 a week?
600, which, by the way they describe this, they're talking about renew points. 600 renew points a week. So,
really?
They probably work 6 days a week. They made 100 a day.
Wow.
This year, and they're referring to 1949, they are running about 150,000 a week.
That's crazy. Yeah. Well, that's depends, though.
No. He says weekly output of pen points for fountain pens.
Mm-hmm.
Not dip pens. Fountain pens. 150,000 a week.
Well, imagine what we could do with 150,000 Astrobrook nibs in 1 week. We could build a fence.
We could what?
We could build a fence.
We could build a fence. We could.
We could pave the driveway.
We'd pave the driveway? No, maybe. Only if they're like 1554s or something. Those are hideous nibs.
They're not hideous nibs. They're perfectly fine nibs.
All right, 1550 then.
All right, so Jenny says moving right along.
Moving right along.
What else you got?
Well, you know, that's there's.
No, it was cool.
It's a very unusual article. I guess it's a primary source of information. I guess that would be considered primary, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But
now in the chat, Hugh has a point. Where's all the equipment and the machinery and the production manuals? I mean, some of that is also lost to history. Yeah. And so when you can find something that is legitimate and actual documentation, you know, primary source, that's very uncommon these days. Sometimes you get a quote from somebody who's quoted in a magazine or something kind of third hand, but to find something as a primary source is very uncommon and certainly much more significant than supposition. So anyway,
yeah, you would know, right? Because you deal with
plagiarism
and all that kind of stuff. So no, I just think it's you know, Estabrook material is very sparse. You know, there's a few catalogs, but this kind of information is fascinating. I only wish there was more information in this this Going Our Way booklet. But it's all really, really vague information.
But you know, it's also interesting to see which companies have manuals and equipment and documentation that's still available. You know, did Estabrook hide it? Was it proprietary and it was, you know, kept close to the vest? Whereas, you know, Waterman or Schaefer or whatever may have just had all these repair manuals and all this other stuff just out there. You know, there are a number of other companies that you never very, very, very rarely find information produced by them. So just
I mean, you know, the big four generally speaking better had more interesting stuff, but yeah, so Estabrook, you know, Estabrook did make the, you know, the company newsletter, which we have some of them, mm-hmm. and some of them are there are some just brilliant things, and maybe I'll bring those on some other podcast, but there's some brilliant things in these company newsletters. Almost 95% of them is not related to fountain pens at all. It's all about the people.
Oh, I love there. Some of those. You know, we learned like, you know, Janie Sue has an anniversary this month,
right.
And you know, Mary Kate got engaged last week, and you know,
the examining room had a birthday cake for, you know, so and so who had been there, you know, 20 years. It's really fascinating stuff, but there's some really and I won't I was gonna try to look it up, see if I have it online.
Some of it's really cheesy.
Some of it's really cheesy and just mind boggling. It really, really kind of sets you back into. It gives you a real perspective on the time. So.
See, now I think it makes the company look.
Greg wants me to read one.
Oh, they're funny.
Oh, okay. Do you want to ad lib, and I can see if I can find one?
All right,
or
see if you can find one.
All right, you ad lib. I'm going to put the focus on you.
All right.
You ad lib.
I truly think that it makes the company. More employee friendly if they're honoring, you know, your anniversary or your birthday or engagement or, you know, the science award your son got in middle school or whatever. I just think it showed that they had an interest in their employees. Not everybody does that these days. So Anyway, Brian's trying to find one. They're very funny. And no, Greg, nobody squirted anybody in the eye. Anyway, yeah, Brian and I have had a good time looking over some of these.
Okay, keep ad-libbing here for a second.
All right.
I've got them here, but they're very...
Maybe we should do this at the store.
At the store?
Yeah. You and Dave and I can come up with things that occurred during the week.
In the pen script?
Yeah, we can make our own little newsletter. That would be fun.
We could, okay.
Although Dave did say one of his last things that he said when he was leaving was that, you know, certain things were off limits.
Certain things are off limits?
Okay. Yeah, we could. I don't know, fair game. What do you think? I'm just kidding, Dave. We love you. But, I mean, think about your companies that you all work for in the chat. I mean, do they even put out company newsletters? Is it just what do they use these days? Yammer? Is that what you use at work, babe?
Yeah, we use Yammer. Yeah. Okay. Here's this is great. You guys
there
are
you
going
go.
Okay.
Oh,
so
you asked.
This is really cool. This is from October 1949. This is their company newsletter called the Pen Script. Now, this particular one has really nice artwork on the cover.
Quack.
A couple of guys hunting, but they have a little section in the back called Nibblings. Okay, so this is October 1949. So you've got things like, you know, they're little snippets. You know, that's a new Nash that Sam Townsend is driving. Rudy Zoll's 1940 Plymouth became cantankerous one day in the midst of traffic in a downpour at 7th and Cooper Straits. Zoll helpfully held the umbrella over Jack Jenkins and Roy Winkler while they worked on his car. You know, these little snippets like this. But I don't know how someone didn't get upset at this. Mickey Gray was bowling one Monday night when something flew into his ear. A whirring of wings and a tickling sensation sent Mickey into contortions. He tried water in hopes of drowning the intruder, but it didn't help, so he presented himself at Cooper Hospital, where after several unsuccessful attempts to extract the object, the doctor finally came out with a fragment of a wing, then a moth almost an inch long. Well, anyway, Mickey bragged, I must have something between my ears because it didn't go in one ear and out the other.
That's gross. So in the company newsletter, a moth flew into your ear and you had to go to the hospital and have it removed, and that's in the company newsletter?
Yeah. You know, I mean, you've got Esterbrook's receptionist, Peggy Eaton, received a really lovely diamond ring the evening of September 23rd. I mean, you got all this stuff in here. I mean, it's
Well, what if it wasn't lovely? You received some old half-assed chip? I mean, what are they going to put in there?
Right? Oh, man.
Paul's got a good point. It was good life before TV and the internet.
Yeah, there are some really outstanding ones. In fact,
it wasn't boring, Paul.
There are some other ones.
I think it was interesting.
We've got a number of them. These are very, very hard to find. You don't see these hardly ever. And I managed to win a lot of all places eBay. And as long as we're on it, I'll just show this. Right. Believe it or not, Esterbrook had a calendar issue every year.
Oh, we've seen these. Can you imagine being like Ms. January for Esterbrook?
This is awesome. I have two of them, actually. Let's see. Yeah, I have two of the same one, and they're well done, right? Okay, so and photos were taken by Jack Shrimpton of the export department, who, if my memory serves me correct, was also an amateur magician. I don't know. But it's got a lovely, it's a December 1948 catalog. Esterbrook's doing well, right? So they've got a lovely Christmas scene here. They got a, you know, town okay. square. They've got some, you know, old cars and a church. So you've got, he took all these pictures of, you know, people that worked, ladies that worked at Esterbrook.
Oh, and she was like in the shipping department or
yeah,
the...
Margaret Evans was in the feed department. We've got Connie Thompson in Renew Point adjusting.
Oh my, she can.
You know, I mean, these are outstanding. They're really fantastic. In one of these, believe it or not, the person I won this from, I think it was her daughter or something. It was family related, but yeah, they're very cool. And then in the lot, as long as we're talking about Estabrook history, many of you have probably seen this image right here. It's an image of a lady who's sitting at a desk with a bunch of fountain pens, and she's assembling nibs into Estabrook pens. And she has on the top here, if you can see it, there's these bins, and they're just loaded with Estabrook pens. Just loaded. I mean, if we could have one of those today, it would be outrageous.
Wayne says hold that up again. You know he hates it when we flash
stuff. I know. I'm sorry. So there it is. You see. See lady posing. And here's what it says in the back. And this lady was also apparently in the, I think she was in the calendar somewhere too. Her name was Ruth Johnson Linthicum. And it says on here, this picture appeared in the 19... Doesn't fill in here. National Geographic magazine, they ran an article on industries along the Delaware. I was representing Estabrooks. And then on the back, it actually says, copyright National Geographic Society, all rights reserved, not for publication. This is an original.
And there's That's very cool.
You can actually buy this poster. I remember there's a website online where you can actually buy this poster.
That's crazy.
That's the original.
She's Miss Nib.
Miss Nib, 1948.
Oh my God, the chat's going crazy.
I guess I didn't mean to turn into that, but that stuff's cool. That's really cool. Love that stuff.
They've been that way the whole night.
I want her a job, Jenny says.
Jenny, they would have to pat you down when you leave every day to make sure.
Yeah, I mean, boxes
of pens. Getting out.
You know.
Yeah, that's cool. So. No, very cool. Very cool.
Jonathan, I think she's no longer with us. So I mean, she was probably, you know, that the picture is 60 years old. She was probably 20, in her 20s then. She could still be alive.
She could be.
Could be.
Anyway, so. Very cool.
Wayne, settle down. She handled my nib.
Well, you never know.
Oh man.
Oh my heavens. Children.
All right.
Anyway, so we're going to start a store newsletter? I think we should.
We should?
We should. Well, I mean, think about some of the people who will come in. Today, Dave matched up a rollerball refill. And, we could talk about sampling ink. I don't know.
Brian came in for lunch today.
Well, we could. I mean, we have some really interesting conversations. We talk to Ivan. In our company newsletter, we could have dinner with Ivan tomorrow.
Oh, we will. Yeah.
See? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That big crate we disassembled in Tracy's honor.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to talk about that. So
we are. So we're getting. I'm segueing into that.
Segueing into the big crate.
Yep. We had a big crate in the store.
Yeah, so we get shipping notification. It's 315 pounds. It's coming by UPS truck.
Those of you who saw the picture on Facebook, it's taller than I am.
Yeah, it was on the pallet. Yes, it's, 5.5 feet tall. And
close. Anyway, so this big-ass crate shows up.
And Lisa's mad at me because it shows up in the middle of work, right? And so I say, but don't open it. Because I want to take pictures.
I'm supposed to leave this huge honking thing in there. So Dave and I take it apart.
No. So I say, I want to take pictures because I want to torture Tracy. Because it's from
Italy. Yes, that is exactly what he said, Tracy.
That is what I said, yeah. It's from Italy. And sure enough, I come in, as I do every day at 4 o'clock. And of course, there's customers who are trying to, people are checking out pens. And they're, kind of squeezing in around the box because... I don't know.
It's big.
Did they come in the front or did they come in the back?
They came through the back door and they brought it up along the ink wall.
They brought it up along the ink wall and then they rotated, they came on the other side?
And that's then they switched it around. Yeah, that was the safest way. He had it on a pallet truck. It's crazy.
Okay. All right. Well, so we get it and we open it up and sure enough, it's our fresh from Italy, our brand new Visconti case. So,
Wait. Pause for angels singing.
Don't so I don't. I don't have like an angel noise here. I have, you know.
All right. So.
Oh, that's the wrong noise.
That's the wrong noise. Ding dong.
So anyway,
so we get this case.
I don't know how much you want to go into it. I mean, it's a beautiful Visconti case. We don't quite have it all set up yet, so
yeah,
it requires a little wiring that needs to be finished up, and sadly, it was missing two screws. So we gotta get two screws that connect the.
Yeah, it didn't even have a screw loose. They were completely gone.
unless they were there, they were somewhere, but I didn't see them.
No, they weren't. Dave and I even checked. We went and.
You went dumpster diving.
Okay. Dumpster diving.
Really nice looking case. It's the new brown and tan kind of theme that Visconti is doing. What I'm excited to see once we get we just need to get two screws that fit. I don't know how we're going to match those up. The lights are on the underside of the trays, which are really cool. So they light from above. It's kind of cool.
Yep. It's going to be very pretty. It's very interesting. It's different than the other one we have.
It is, yep.
Mm-hmm. So once it's lit up, it'll be interesting to see which one we like better.
Yeah, supposedly it's supposed to be better, but I don't know.
We'll see.
That old one's pretty nice. So.
Old one's pretty cool, but this one is also very nice.
All right. What else is new? So we're segueing right into that. We got a couple new things at the store.
We do. We've got some really pretty things.
I don't know if we discussed these before, so we just kind of looked through them kind of quick. And
I'm not sure if we mentioned them or if we didn't because we didn't have them up on the site, and we hate to do that.
Yeah.
It's like we got an email from Philip Wang today giving us a timeline on a number of things, but I hate to mention it because if that doesn't happen in that exact timeline,
right,
people get cranky. So Let's just say Twisby's got some cool stuff coming up. I'm going to go with the next 6 months because Twisby time is different than real life.
I don't know. I think this time, if I was a betting man, I would say this time frame that he gave me, I think, is right. It's going to be spot on.
All right. Well, I'll take your bet, and I'll bet against it and say it's going to get dragged out a little.
All right. So it'll be fine. It'll be worth the wait. Most definitely.
It will. Absolutely. All right. So what do you want to talk about first?
I think you've got some couple items from overseas.
Yeah, how did I end up with the pilots?
Not because I gave it to you.
Oh. All right. So we have the absolutely really cool and very pretty the Pilot Custom 74. And I don't think we've had these up before. These are cool. It's pretty colors. I've currently got the orange, and this is the one Brian likes. It's hard to see the color.
I don't know why. It's violet?
Yeah. It's a pale lavender.
I mean, I'm not a lavender kind of guy, but your choices are, it comes in clear smoke, orange, and this lavender, and I'm just drawn to it. It's such a gorgeous color.
Yeah, very cool. Nice nib. Let's take this apart, flash it up there for Wayne.
14 karat white gold.
Very nice.
Con 70 converter. Nice, yep. Nice looking pen.
A little flex. A little tiny bit. Not much. Oh. Yep. Orange. Very pretty. Speaking of flex, however.
Oh. You said the magic word. Softness, perhaps?
Or softness, if you will.
I like the term softness.
Anybody know what this is?
It's a black pen.
The Pilot Justice. Bam.
Sweet.
Now, this has been out for a while. We've had it for a while. We haven't reviewed it. We haven't talked about it. I don't know why.
You said you were going to give me one for...
I did not say I was going to give you one.
I think you did. I think you said, Brian, just go over there and just grab one. Take one off the shelf, ink it up.
No. The really cool thing...
Somebody in the chat helped me out on this one.
Don't help him out. The really cool thing about the Justice is that the nib is adjustable. And so you turn it. It's really hard to tell, and I apologize to Wayne especially, because I know you hate that. Where do you turn it?
Right on the end there.
Yep. So you turn it, and the piece on the top moves up and down.
Yeah, the overfeed moves up and down.
Essentially the overfeed, moves up and down, leaving more of the slit on the nib either open or closed, or available or not available, and that gives some flex to it, some softness.
Softness, yeah. It's hard or soft.
Yes. So. Some people would call that flexible, you know, flex or rigidity, but very cool. Gorgeous pen.
But it's got a neat, almost a chasing pattern. It's aligned.
Yeah, it's very faint chasing in a lined pattern. It's very pretty. It is not too big for my hand, so...
I'm surprised. I would have thought it would have been too big for your hand.
It's pushing it.
Okay.
Yeah. They come in a fine or a medium nib, so these are cool. Anyway, it fits my hand very well. Thank you. We will say that we saw a really, really, really cool pen this past week that has some serious kick-ass flex.
Yeah. I was hoping it was going to be here before this weekend.
I know.
I guess we'll probably get tracking tomorrow. That would be,
I hope so.
I won the bet.
They sent us the bill.
I know Hugh's going to want to see this.
OMF.
Hugh's going to give this pen justice, but we'll talk about it when we get it.
Well, we can mention it.
Well, we should mention it. We had a really cool visit with Ross Cameron, our Yafa rep. So, and Yafa, of course, is Monteverde, Delta, and Stipula.
You know, I wouldn't call it a nice visit. I would call it a blast. We had a blast. Ross came to the store. It was his first time at the store. And he brought with him this roller bag, you know, like a carry-on.
Yeah, and see, I thought it was clothing.
No, it was all pens.
All pens. And it's the big one. It's not the small one. It's the biggest size that you can carry on a plane.
People, he shows up with a suitcase full of pens. It was so cool. And he's got all these binders. He's just bringing out these binders and more binders. What about this?
He's doing his thing. And I'm like, Dave, no. This is not what you're doing. You need to come over and check this out. I guess every case, it's like, oh, I like that. That was nice. How about one of those? We'll take those.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. So finally, Dave just stopped trying to work, and he just came over. And so we're pulling pens out of Ross's case. We're passing them around, playing with them. We had the best time.
Yeah, we picked out some cool stuff.
Picked out a lot of stuff.
There is a new Delta pen coming out. Looks nice. An entry-level Delta, which is really going to be a nice pen. So when that comes out, we'll be ready for it. Do we want to say anything about that? I don't think we should. We should wait until we get it. Let's wait till we get it.
We're getting some really cool stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, I actually, one of those you are letting me keep.
What? Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Anyway, we'll talk about that later. I do want to mention a couple things real quick.
Okay, mention.
I'm trying not to be too whatever.
Cryptic.
Schaefer's come out with a couple new things.
These are cool, and we have these.
The 300 now comes in three. Schaefer 300 comes in three new finishes. This dark blue is outstanding.
They're very cool.
When we first started with the Schaefer line, I saw this color was in the 500 series, and I actually emailed them. I said, listen, you need to have this color on the 300. It's a killer color. It's a nice dark blue. These pens are great. They pull securely on the barrel. I have one in chased chrome. They have a nice spring clip, you know, like the classic Schaefer. So they have dark blue. They have this really nice, cool one. It's kind of a gunmetal.
Those are kind of cool, too. I like that.
Nice, yep. Very classy. And then they have all brushed stainless steel with gold trim.
I like that one, too.
Yeah, nice. They did a nice job with these three here. They discontinued three, and then they came out with three more. So
these are pretty. I like these.
And we have them. We have them in ballpoint and rollerballs too.
Yep.
Believe it or not. And then one more.
You bought rollerballs?
Yeah, I bought rollerballs in those.
Wow. Everybody, you heard that. Brian bought rollerballs.
Hey, listen, I sold a ballpoint this week.
I know. I'm very proud of you. Did it hurt?
Nope. Not at all.
Awesome. All right, so what about the pen you stole?
I didn't steal a pen. We should make a mention that Schaefer has discontinued a couple of models.
We should.
So, and we have a couple left. The Intensity in Ultramarine, Violet, and Cornflower.
I love my Intensity.
Which is the beautiful light blue. I think all but the Cornflower, we have a couple in stock, including a couple of rollerballs. They're done. Those
Goodbye.
Are like the three best colors, and they're gone. No more. Also, the Schaefer Valor, which I have right here, which is one of Schaefer's flagship lines.
Very cool pen.
This one's actually made in Italy. This is Italian-made, Italian resin. This one's brown, and this has the famous inlaid NIM. Real nice cartridge converter, Italian-made.
Very cool. It's hard to see, and Wayne, I'm sorry, I know you hate this, but it's really hard to see the depth of the plastic.
It's really...
We'll get a picture up in the next couple days, but it's yep. It's really got some gorgeous depth and luminosity to it.
Ooh, luminosity, I like that word.
I know, so yeah, how's that?
We just have them in brown.
What? When they're Where's gone, the blue?
There was no blue.
There was a blue.
There was no blue.
I paid for a blue.
I don't think there was blue.
I think you stole a pen.
I don't think I stole anything.
There was a blue. Brian kept it. I suppose it's going to be like Father's Day or birthday or something. But
so anyway, it's kind of a shame. It's a nice looking pen, but very, very limited availability. So I guess is the word for that.
Very cool. So. Yeah, we ended up with some really nice stuff from Kenro during the Chicago show, and then Ross came up, you know, just a couple days later. It's just like pen heaven.
Yeah, I can't wait to the stuff comes. There's some really, really killer stuff.
Dave, Wayne, and I will take pictures.
Wayne, those are the Schaefer Valor. It was the last pen I showed with the inlay nib, and then the Schaefer 300s in the three new colors, the blue, the gunmetal, and the brushed chrome with gold trim.
Yes, very cool.
What else? Do we got anything else? Should we move along? It's getting close to 9 o'clock, so
it's getting close to 9. You need to go to bed and save your tooth and stuff. And
I do have a shout out.
Oh,
I have one shout out this week.
Okay.
And we've been kind of busy, so I want to give a very first shout out.
Oh.
To
your first or the first one to someone?
The first one to this person.
Okay.
Vanessa Joanna Watt, my great, I guess it would be my great niece, was born today. To
who?
My niece.
Oh, Ashley had her baby?
Ashley had her baby today.
So, I didn't know that.
Congratulations. And the pictures look great. Looks like 10 fingers, 10 toes. And so everybody's excited, and that's great. We're excited. So,
that's my we're an aunt and uncle again.
We're a great aunt and uncle. Yep.
Well, we're always great.
But we're always great. So
very cool.
So anyway, I think we'll leave the shout out just to Vanessa, and she can claim the limelight for the evening. So
very cool. Well, we've got a busy week the rest of the week anyway. So
yeah. All right. Anything else you want to talk? We'll talk about some of that stuff next week.
Yeah. Next week we will let you know how
we got some visitors.
Dinner with the Corvette and Pen Collector crowd goes tomorrow night. We're going out
tomorrow,
for,
and we're going out something for I can't spell.
Paella. It's going to be freaking some. And we're going with, we're invited by our friend Ivan and his wife Mary. And so it's a bunch of people who like Corvettes, and some of them like pens, some like both, some like one or the other. And
here's what we should do. We should bring all our most expensive pens, and then maybe we can like trade.
For a Corvette?
Yes, I think that would be great.
No.
No?
No. No.
So yeah, we have that, and then we have some guests coming at the end of the week.
Yes, we're very excited.
Totally excited for.
Yes.
It's going to be a blast.
Oh, my God.
We'll talk about that next week. So.
We will. Well, we'll be able to talk about some of it, not all of it, or we'd have to kill people.
Yeah. What happens at the pen store on Sunday happens
Stays at the Penn store. Yep, exactly.
So
that's about it. But we will let you know how Pens and Vets go. And we should Google Glass Dinner. That'd be fun.
Google Glass Dinner. Okay.
We'll see. I bet Ivan and Pat and some of the others would enjoy that.
Yeah, I can do it in the parking lot probably.
Yeah, there you go. So,
all right. I think that concludes it for today. Comments, suggestions for topics, use your pens. Write to us at Anderson Pens, 10 East College Avenue, Suite 112A, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54911.
Or you can catch us online and send us an email.
Email is brian@andersonpens.net.
Or lisa@andersonpens.net.
You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/AndersonPens.
We are on Facebook. It's facebook.com/AndersonPens.
The blog, blog.andersonpens.net.
And the website is andersonpens.net.
Join our mailing list for advance notice of the upcoming new products, special sales, events, things going on. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast this evening. We will see you next week. Good night, everyone.
Bye, guys.